Hello everyone, Coach Dave is here with you for our Play to Win coaching method, session number 5. Great to be back with all of you, and today we will be exploring our Play to Win method, step number 4, which is all about how we respond to challenges. This is one of the main things that distinguishes a player from a worker in the way we respond to challenges. And so we will get into that in great detail today. We'll talk about playing for results versus getting it done. We'll also talk about a little bit about the triple play of players, which we've spoken about in the past a little bit. We'll go into that a little more. We will also today talk about judgment-free awareness, which is a critical coaching perspective and also very important for us to teach our players how to look at their game and how they've played and what's happening and what's not happening with judgment-free awareness. This is all helps in the way we respond to challenges. So really a juicy conversation for today. So I'm looking forward to that. And of course, I'm looking forward to hearing how you all feel about our first coaching game, which is coming to a conclusion this evening. So you still have some time. Scoop up a few more points before the end of the day. And we'll be starting a new game starting tomorrow. And so we want to make sure you're ready for that as well. So lots to talk about. So let me get you a code word for attendance tracking. And please, as I'm fetching this code word, think about what you would like to share. A celebration, a coaching challenge, a celebration of something that happened with a player, a celebration of something that happened in your game as a player, in your life, your world. So all of the above is suitable for sharing. Let's open up with some sharing, as we always do. I would love to hear your celebrations, what is happening in your game, what's happening with your players, any of the above, all of the above. Let me hear from some of you before we jump into our content today. So, and I am seeing we have a lot of folks dialed in on the generic code. So we will hopefully sort that out as we move along here today. Let's open up with Coach T. Go for it, Coach T.
Good afternoon, everybody. I had an interesting session with a player whose big game is King of the Mountain. She wants to change her life.
King of the Mountain. That's going old school.
Yeah, she's going for it. She wants to sort of change her life, and she wants to do that by achieving, in general, just achieving stuff, because she has a history of she comes from a family where she's not validated in any sense of the word. And so that's her big goal. So we were talking the other day, and she was talking about one of her big challenges, not being able to complete anything. So I asked her, what was the most recent thing that she started and did not complete? And she said, a puzzle. So I said, okay, my gift to you for the next week is that you will complete a puzzle. And she looked horrified. So I said, I don't care how many pieces there are in a puzzle. There could be 5. There could be 50. I'll leave that at your discretion, but that is my goal for you this week, complete a puzzle. So when she came back, I asked her how it went, and she said that initially she had made up her mind that she was not going to do this stupid puzzle thing. And then she walked into a store.
Yes.
She said she walked into a store, and she saw this kid's puzzle that had about 12 to 15 pieces. And she stopped, and she thought about it, and she said, okay, fine, whatever, I'll do it. And she completed the puzzle in like 10 minutes. And so I asked her, how did that feel? And she just burst out laughing and said, it felt great. So So that was the starting point of a really sort of powerful learning moment.
Yes.
And where I took that was, whenever you have a huge sort of overwhelming task, you break that down into smaller chunks.
Yes, well done.
And it only improved from there.
That's well done, T. You know, and the thing that's great about what T has done here is that something for all of us as coaches to remember, that our subconscious mind is programmed through metaphor and pictures. It doesn't get programmed through words. It's through metaphor and pictures. So, symbols. So, even something that might seem ridiculous, like completing a kid's puzzle, is metaphorically very powerful. Because the subconscious mind is not complicated. It's now getting a little programming that says, I can complete things. I can solve things. I can do this. Even as silly as a kid's puzzle, it starts the programming in a new direction versus her current program, which is, I can't finish things. Or essentially, in a more metaphorical meaning, life is too complicated. Right? So T was able to create for her a metaphorical learning moment. And it had all the right elements. It had a physical component, a visual, you know. So it was a comprehensive learning experience. And now that's, and like T said, that's just the beginning now. But it's really, it's beautiful. It's well done. And I love the fact that you asked her, because you didn't just come up with idea of her doing a puzzle out of thin air, right? It came through the conversation. So she can be equally responsible for the idea. So that is good. T, that's great coaching. Well done. Which also brings us to a point that we've talked about a lot in the last few weeks, the importance of your player having a winnable game. And we do this so often to ourselves. We give ourselves unwinnable games. And I know, because I'm the king of the unwinnable game. That's why I'm so adamant about this in teaching it, because it's taken me a long time to learn it for myself. But, you know, I'll say, oh, I got a couple hours on a Saturday morning. You know, I really want to do a few things, you know, on Coachville before I go out for a hike or whatever. And I'll start making a list of things. Oh, I'd like to do this and do this and do this. And I make a list of 10 things. I couldn't even get two of them done in the 3 hours. And I got a list of 10 on my piece of paper. So my Saturday morning game is unwinnable before I even pick up the ball. And so think about how often we give ourselves unwinnable games and how important it is for us as coaches to make sure we reverse that trend with our players and give them winnable games on a regular basis. All right, awesome. Let's hear from a few more. Yeah, go ahead.
That was exactly kind of what I was getting at in two ways. When I said that the puzzle could have 5 pieces or 50, I really was sort of creating space for her to create a winnable game for herself.
Yes.
Because, as you said, the overall point was to illustrate that, hey, you actually can complete something.
Yes.
The other point was, it was in my head, but it disappeared.
That's when it comes back, you just raise your hand, we'll bring you back up.
All right, sounds good.
Awesome, T. Well done. You know, those points, they do just go flying out of our heads from time to time. The thing I love about it is, you know, hey, we're among friends here. If a point flies out of your head, you just say so. We just move right along. Next up, Charlotte. Charlotte Beland, what would you like to share?
Hello, good evening, everyone. This is Charlotte from Sweden, and I say good evening because it's some way after 8 o'clock in the evening here,
yes.
And I already had my day. And I had a really breakthrough today that I would like to share with you.
Go for it.
Last week I got an invitation from our local network here for a lunch seminar. And this morning I hesitated a little bit because, you know, those things, they grab a lot of time from you and you don't know really what they are meant to be or what they are going to be for you. But anyway, I went, and I learned two things. First of all, it was a great seminar. And then I got into a conversation with a lady. And at the end of this conversation, I ended up recruiting her as a new player.
Yay!
And this was a really a breakthrough for me, because what I've understood from the rest of the class here is that more or less all of you are already coaching. And for me, this is really new. So after 1 month in class now, I've recruited my first player and also a playable player. And I really feel great about it.
Yay! I think this calls for a big team woohoo. Now, in a class this big, this can be a bit chaotic, but I love a little chaos to get us going. So what we're going to do is I'm going to turn all the microphones on. I'm going to count to three, and then we're going to give Charlotte a big team woohoo celebration. All right, so I'll give a little. Let me give a little demonstration first. All right, so I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. That's basically what you do. So I'm counting on all of you to step up to the mic and give Charlotte a big team woohoo. You ready? All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, thank you very much.
That was pretty good, team. Well done. So, Charlotte, how did you like your big team acknowledgement?
Oh, it was great. Thank you very much.
I got a chill. It's great, Charlotte. Thank you very much. Awesome. Well done.
Thanks.
All right, let's hear from Coach Abby. What would you like to share, Abby?
Hi, everyone. I did something after not the last call because I wasn't on last week. Shame on me. But the week before,
yes.
My partner T and I decided it was something very simple, but something I had put off for a really long time, was separating my personal email from my business email inbox.
Uh-huh.
I was constantly switch tasking and, trying to accomplish too much in, and it just got me complicated and flustered. And, he put me to the task of getting it done, and I did it. And I can't tell you, it took literally 30 seconds to do. Why I put it off for so long, I don't know. But it has completely changed how I formulate my day.
Awesome.
And how I get through my day and how I can stay focused on work while I'm working. And I can then go to my personal email after I'm done with work and take care of that. It doesn't have to be... I don't have to do it all within my day.
Yes.
So it was such a small little thing, but it made such a huge difference.
Yes.
In how my day plays out.
It's really well done. So obviously,
yeah,
Coach T is magical here. So let's just let's just acknowledge the magic of Coach T. A 30-second puzzle creates life-changing results. I also just want to put a little language upgrade that you can be playing your business game and playing your family and personal game as two separate games rather than work and personal.
Yes.
Forget this work stuff. This is the inspiration age. There's no work. There's playing business. There's playing career. There's playing family. So you're playing many games, as I now have begun saying often, play everything, right? So it's all about play, but it's very good to distinguish your games, and you're not trying to play two games at once. That's actually really hard to do, to try to play two different games at the same time. You know, imagine, you know, running around on a soccer field trying to play soccer while at the same time trying to play some puzzle on your iPhone. Like, well, you know what? You're going to get run into, for sure. You're going to get run over or get hit in the head with the ball, right? So you can't play two games at once. So play one game at a time, play well, and then move on and play the other game. It really helps your confidence level. And this is something that my friend, many of you know, Alex Mondosian, talks about often, protecting the player's confidence, right? Protect the player's confidence. Alex talks about this often. And it's so important for all of us as coaches to protect our players' confidence. Make sure they have winnable games. Make sure they're playing one game at a time. You can have multiple games going on in your life, for sure. We all do. We have business games. We have family games. We have health games. But play them one at a time, right? Don't try to play two things at once. It really helps our ability to be focused, because that's the thing about play, right? When you really play, you're focused, you're into it. So if you're playing one thing and then you're distracted trying to play a second thing at the same time, it doesn't help you. It actually hurts you. It makes you feel like you're not really playing. So that's great, Abby. Well done.
Thank you.
I love it. All right, we have time for one more. Let's see here. I think we should hear from Coach Kim Beasley. Go for it, Coach Kim.
I'm so excited. Yesterday, I was sharing, I was helping a fellow coach toot her own horn, and I said, okay, let me share her video on G+. Shared it on her video on G+, and one of the people I'm connected to said, oh, I love this video. Is she available for speaking? And I was like, wow. I was just sharing to help. I didn't realize it was going to get her a speaking gig. So I'm really excited about that. And I connected with that person on Facebook. She ended up putting me in her private group on Facebook, which ended up allowing me to toot my horn about my business with my 21-day challenge. And I'm able to present my webcam to the new group just because it started with me trying to help someone else toot their horn.
Nice. Well done. I love
I'm
it, Coach
excited.
Kim. I'm excited for you. This is the thing, okay? This is business in the inspiration economy. And all of you as coaches, you are all full-on playing in the inspiration economy. In the inspiration economy, sharing is the new advertising, right? Visibility is the new marketing. Marketing, advertising, these were industrial age concepts. In the inspiration age, it's about visibility and sharing. When you share, you become visible and you attract opportunities. And that's all of us as coaches. The game is set up for sharing. This whole structure is all organized around giving you opportunities to share. Because the more you share, the more you attract. And you can share about yourself, or as Kim has just shared with us, you can even share about your players. You share about your players, and then you attract. It's really awesome. And this is how the game of business is played today. So I really want to acknowledge you, Kim, for being such a great demonstration, a great player here, and showing us all how to thrive in the inspiration economy. So that's awesome stuff. All right, well done. Let's move along. So now let's talk about this distinction between playing for results versus getting it done. Now, I'm not saying one is better than the other. There are times to play for results, and there are times to get it done. But it's important for us as coaches to know the difference and to know with our players when we are challenging them to just get it done versus when we are challenging them to play for results. And there are some important distinctions, especially from a coaching perspective, that come with knowing the difference between these two things. So, let me hear your thoughts. Now, in the past week, last week we talked about playing, and we started talking about playing for results. And one of the things you could do last week for points in the game was to talk to your players, or people you know, friends, family, colleagues, about what are they playing for? What results do they want to create? And how can they begin to look at what they're doing as playing for results versus just getting it done? So let's talk about it. I want to hear what did you learn about this distinction in the past in the past week? Or what do you think about it now after contemplating it some from our conversation last week? So if you have a thought about the distinction between playing for results and getting it done from a point of view of a player, point of view of coach, either one, please raise your hand. I would love to hear your thoughts. And maybe even, you know, first of all, what did you learn about it? But why do you think this is so important for coaches? And how would knowing this distinction help you as a coach? Coach Michelle, go for it.
I had a session this morning with a couple, and they were coming in from kind of a painful place. It's a blended family, and the woman is really struggling with her husband's teenage daughters.
Okay.
And what was interesting is we talked and walked, and I struggled in this. And as I left, I thought, dang, how can I bring more play into this? But along the lines of your question, what I thought of is they were so stuck on fixing something mm-hmm. and getting something done
mm-hmm.
that there wasn't. And I don't think I did a very good job of helping them, but somehow they needed permission to let go of that
mm-hmm.
so that they could just try new and different things. And that
yes.
becomes the play. It's just having the courage to try and just having the courage to say, okay, well, maybe it might work versus, well, it's not going to work. Or, you know, the arms folded, the body language, everything.
Yes.
Uptight, and you're looking at him going, gosh, if I was, and this is hard because I could feel the judgment coming as
yes.
I watched the situation. I thought, gosh, if I was a teenage girl, boy, I wouldn't want to come.
Right.
I wouldn't want to come either.
Right.
Because it was so hard. And so if they can let go and try, it invites a whole different environment.
Well said. All right. So this is beautiful that you have this learning opportunity. It's very challenging for sure. But you could see that working on it is not going to help. Right? Working on it is not
right.
going to help. Playing for it could change their lives. So now it's up to you as the coach to introduce them to this idea, to give them that permission to relax, to get off of there, we've got to fix this, and move on to let's play with it. And the big distinction between working on something and playing for something is the distinction between control and influence. That's the number one distinction to be aware of. When you're working on something, it means you're trying to control something or someone. When you're playing for something, you release control. You know you cannot control it, but you know that you can influence it through the creative use of your energy, through ideas, through creativity, through expression, through love, through all the creative resources we have. We can influence outcomes. We can influence people, but we cannot control them. So that's when you shift from work to play, is when you release control and then you get creative with how to use your influence. So, you know, that's going to take some doing on your part, but they, you know, as coaches, we always look at the perfection of the situation. That was one of our 15 coaching proficiencies that you will learn, you know, in level 2 of our curriculum, is how to recognize the perfection in the situation. So there's a perfection that brought them to you. So now it's about, if you can teach them how to play, then you can teach anybody how to play.
Thanks.
So I am right there with you.
We're right on. What's interesting is how you just described that control. And one of the issues that they're struggling with is that hyper level of control. So that just,
yeah,
so that was pretty fascinating for me to watch you hone in on that so quickly. That was kind of fun.
Well, I've done this a couple times, so.
Yeah, I know.
But the good thing is, these are powerful distinctions. That's why we have time in our class time together to talk about these distinctions, because now the next time you're in that conversation, you can say, okay, look, this is really all about the distinction between control and influence. So let's look at how you're trying to control, and let's recognize that as human beings, we have to release control and use our influence, which is more creative, more resourceful, more loving, and then let's play the game that way. And if you start using those terms and having confidence in them, then they will follow you. They're, you know, I say this all the time. Coaches have to be leaders. You have to lead them. It's a big mistake in the coaching industry. It's always talked about how, oh, the coach just goes with the player's agenda. Yeah, okay. If the player says this is what they want to accomplish, yeah, you don't try to get them to, you know, get a new job when they're trying to build a business. But once the agenda is set, the coach has to lead. They don't know about the spirit of play, but you do. So if you could ask them questions all day long, they're never going to say, oh, well, let's bring the spirit of play into this. I mean, that's just not going to happen. You have to lead them there. So you have an awesome opportunity, Michelle, and I know you can do it. So this is very cool. Let's hear from Coach Samantha. What would you like to share about playing for results versus getting it done? What is your insight about that?
Hi there. Okay, so I've got a player. When we first arranged the session, she told me that she had some health concerns. So together we sort of came up with a program that would help her get to where she wanted to be. That was a couple of weeks ago, and she's really, really struggled. So I was struggling with how to sort of approach this. I didn't want to be too stern with her in a way. You know, I wanted to be gentle. So what I did was I just completely went right back to the beginning and started with the play-to-win method right from the beginning and really honed in on the purpose of her game.
Great.
And I think I really got through to her today because she started telling me a little bit more about her concerns for her health in the future and why that was really important to her. And she's now committed to, you know, for the next week to really, really make an effort to just get through this week and do everything that we said she should do. So I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Awesome. Well done. It's really good. And this is about playing for something. If you're going to play for something, you need to know the purpose. Why are we playing for this? So that's very wise what you did as a coach. And that's why in the play to win method, that's the very first thing. After you find out what you want to play, why do you want to play this? What is the purpose? That is essential. See, in the world, in the industrial world, when you go to work, you don't ask, why am I doing this? Your manager doesn't want you to ask, why are we doing it this way? They just want you to freaking do it, right? So purpose was irrelevant. The company knows the purpose. You just got to do what you're told, right? Why do we do this assignment in fifth grade math class? You don't ask the teacher, why are we doing this? You just take your assignment, you sit down, you shut up, and you do it, right? So work is devoid of purpose, right? There's no purpose, but play must have purpose. In the inspiration economy, you can't be inspired unless you have purpose. So this is very wise what you did. If you notice your player is stuck, a very good first thing to explore is, well, let's take a few steps back and figure out, why are we doing this? And if you can tap into their purpose, get their heart involved, then you have a much better chance of them, you know, taking action. Now, they might still get stuck. They might still not know how to do it. There's all sorts of things that can happen. But at least they'll have the energy of their heart involved in the game, which always makes it a heck of a lot easier to play. Awesome. Well done. Last one up on this one is B Fields. What would you like to share about playing for results versus working on tasks?
Well, for me, working on tasks is sort of working in robot mode, just getting up and checking the email and going to the gym and eating and doing the client work and that sort of thing. And Todd has really helped me. Todd is my coach. And the game that I'm playing is financial freedom for my kids, financial independence.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose is to get them out of my home.
That's a good purpose.
No, I'm serious, because their lifestyle choices, you know how I'm big on environmental design just like you are.
Yes.
The way I've designed my life and my home and the things that I do and the way I invest my money is very different than theirs. And when someone has designed their life that's different than yours, you're going to have conflict.
Yes.
And so in playing this game, at some point I'm going to have to get them involved.
Yes.
And right now I am doing some things, and playing for results for me means making more mindful choices. So as an example, on Saturday, rather than doing some work, which I'm well known for working on weekends, and I went to see my daughter and did the whole be quiet, listen thing, and it was fine. But she doesn't even know she's in the game.
Right.
So I've got to communicate to her that this is the game that I'm playing, and I want her to play along.
Yes.
So when you're playing for results, it's not just about you doing tasks. I feel like for me, I have to elicit the other players to contribute to the game as well.
Exactly. And this is back to that critical distinction. You cannot control your daughter.
Yeah, and now I do know that part.
You're clear on that, but you can influence her.
Right, right. I can influence her by, once again, listening and allowing her to make her own choices. Where I do have to draw the line on, say, the control issue is, there are certain things we just don't do in this home.
Yes.
And if you want to sleep until noon or go out at 11 and come in at 4, then that should be at another location, not here. You know?
Well done. Now, you have a lot of influence when you own the home, so you can use some heavy influence there.
Yeah, but, you know, she has her own apartment and all, but when kids move into being adults, it's just a whole different ballgame.
Yes.
At one point, you're trying to bite your tongue. On another point, it is your home and your life. And if you're walking on eggshells around your adult kids because you don't want to make waves, that's an issue.
Yes.
So at some point, I'm going to have to talk to my kids about my goals and why I want those goals.
Yes.
And find out from them how they feel about that.
Yes. Get them on your team.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good, Bea.
Me being on their team, which I'm kind of half and half right now.
This could be, it's a great learning opportunity. And I mean, you're very gracious in sharing about this with us all in this class. So I'm very, I admire you very much for that. And yeah, it's a big game, parenting. It is a very big game. It's full of challenges, full of growth opportunities. So I give you full credit for playing full on as you are. And again, these distinctions, you can use them with your clients, players, you can use them with your family, friends. You know, when you start looking at how to play for something versus just get it done or work on something, you can learn a lot. You can talk to anyone about this distinction and get some insights. So let me share a few thoughts about this distinction from what I have learned. Number one, when you're playing for something, you're not only focused on getting it done, you're also aware of enjoying it. This is part of what we call the triple play, okay? The triple play is you go for the results as a player, but you also go for joy. Enjoy. You play for the joy of it. So when you're working on something, joy is not part of the equation. It's just, you know, your boss doesn't have to ask you, oh, I just really want to make sure you're enjoying your tasks. No, they just want you to get them done. Okay. But when you're coaching a player, you want them to be enjoying it, because as part of the inspiration age, the more joy we have, the more heart-filled we are, and then the more that joy and heart-filled place comes into what we do, whether it's a making something or engaging someone. So when your heart is engaged with what you're doing, you get better results, and you have more joy, and everyone is better off. So as a company, you know, as organizations, we're excited about teaching organizations how to bring play into their organization, because they'll get much better experiences with their customers if they do, but also with us with our players. We need to teach our players how to look for the joy in what is being done. You also want to avoid, when you're playing, you avoid task obsession. When you're a worker, there's sometimes this thing like, I got to get this done at all costs, even if I, you know, stay up all night, or even if at great cost to myself, or if I, you know, miss my kid's game, I'm going to work on this. It's more important, you know, and that is not something that a player would do. As a player, you know, you make choices, and you know that if you are burned out, then you're not going to play well the next day. So you avoid that kind of, I have to do this at all costs. Instead, you play and you take care of yourself as a player, because you are the asset. You are the player. If you can't play the next day because you're emotionally a wreck, because something went awry, because you ignored something at home, or you're physically a wreck because you didn't sleep, you realize, hey, this is not helping me play well. So I need to be balanced. If I want to be a great player, I have to be balanced, so that I keep things in equilibrium, so that I can be a great player the next day and the next day and the next day. So these are things that you think about as a player. The triple play is you play for the results, but you also play for joy. And the third thing is you play for mastery. You play for becoming a better player every day. So as you do things, you don't just do them for the sake of getting them done. You do them for the sake of learning how to do this better the next time. So it's a more comprehensive experience. That's a big part of what being a player is all about. Awesome. Thank you, everyone who shared there. Now, the thing is, too, when you're playing for results, you do keep your eye on the results. You know, if you want something to happen, you keep playing, but you're playing while you're looking for that thing to happen, right? So you know, if you're playing soccer, you don't just run around. You run around on the field with the idea of, I'm going to figure out how to score a goal, right? So you keep your sights on the goal. You don't, now if you're playing soccer, and that's my game, so that's what I talk about. When I'm running around on the soccer field, I'm not staring at the goal. Because if I'm staring at the goal, then I'm not in the game. I don't know where the ball is. But I know I have an awareness of the goal while I'm playing. I know what I'm playing for, and I keep it in my awareness while I'm playing. So being a player requires a higher level of awareness than being a worker. Okay, so these are some of the things that we look at in being a player. Okay, now, here's a question. I would love to hear a few of your thoughts. So you all are playing this game, this play-to-win game. We have our game system. You get points. You do things. You share. You share with each other. You can share on Facebook. You can comment on each other's games and what inspired you. And when, you know, you give each other points doing that. So I just want to get a feel for, what have you learned about playing your best game in this coaching game, this social game that we play together? So what have you learned about being a good player in that game to play for results? Anyone have any experiences? You know, some of you have scored a heck of a lot of points. So what have you learned about playing that game and how to be a good player in it? Well, Garnett's one of our top players. Garnett, what have you learned about playing that game?
Hey, Dave. For me, it's really been I think you touched on it there, the expanded awareness. And when I started to share my thoughts, you know, one of the first people to pop on was you and sort of support me and encourage me with what I was, you know, writing down in almost like in a journaling sense on the game card. And then, you know, I figured out that, oh, there's these little yellow stars, and when I click on them, I get a point. But I also get an opportunity to sort of give a comment to one of my peers in the game.
Yeah.
And that has turned into really a rewarding experience to be able to connect with, you know, people at a professional level with regards to our, you know, our training to become coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the growth that I've gained from just other people sharing and giving me feedback has been just fabulous. And it just, you know, boosts your confidence and makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's the idea. Well done. Thanks, Garnett. That's perfect. All right, someone else has your hand up who dialed in on the generic pin. Who's this?
Ingrid.
Ingrid, go for it, Ingrid.
Hi, everybody. I think for me what I've learned about this is the importance of clarity and making sure that I have the right game, which took me a little while to try and figure out, and then I had a game within a game, which Craig helped me figure out. And also the consistency is doing, even if it's a bite-sized piece, keeping with it on a regular basis and setting this time aside to do the game, read what other people are sharing, and getting ideas, actually, from what people have shared. So the sharing piece is important, and I probably need to do a little bit more of that.
Awesome. Well done. Yeah, that's it. I mean, the game, ultimately, this game is about really two things. Doing things in your world, do your coaching things, talking to people, engaging people in coaching conversations. I mean, that's the main point of the game. But the real dynamic of the game is sharing. That's how the game is played. You play the game by sharing. So I'm really happy to hear you share that, because that really points to the essence of the game is about sharing. Because and it fits into this whole notion of the inspiration economy, is the more you share, the more you become visible, and the more visible you are, the more you attract. So it fits in, like the game is really architected so that you can thrive in the inspiration economy by getting practice sharing meaningful things from your day with everyone in your community. And that includes both your community of coaches, like Garnett talked about, your professional community here, but also your greater community of everyone who's tracking you on Facebook. You can share in your greater world. So that is awesome. Thank you, Ingrid. Well done. All right, so this is good. Now let's move on to another topic, which is judgment-free awareness. Judgment-free awareness. This is such an important topic. We will talk about it, you know, many times, and especially next week when we talk about how to evaluate progress. But in with respect to facing challenges, how does judgment-free awareness help you in the face of a challenge? Who has a thought about that? How does judgment-free awareness help you in the face of a challenge? Let's hear from Coach Craig Marcus. Go for it, Craig. Craig, are you there? Maybe your phone is muted.
Sorry about that. Thanks, Dave. Sorry.
No problem.
As I've been talking with my players and bringing this up, it's really been extremely enlightening and helpful for them and for me, of course, that we talk about not worrying about getting it done so much about about either getting the results or learning.
Yes.
And so the judgment-free awareness is about learning either way. You have success either way. Either you get the results or you learn what the challenge was and how we can change the game a little bit to, mm-hmm. to get better results.
Or change your approach or improve your skill. Or there's so many things you can do once you look at it that way.
Right, right.
So instead of feeling like a failure, now you're feeling like a player who has options.
Exactly.
Yeah, well done, Craig.
Exactly, and that was so enlightening for my players. And like I said, myself as well.
Well, that's good. And that's the beauty of being a coach, right? We get the double enlightenment.
That's right. That's right.
We're coaches for selfish reasons. Awesome. Well done, Craig. And let's hear from Coach Jessica Dean. Go for it, Jessica.
Yeah, I think that when you use judgment-free awareness, especially when you're looking at your mistakes or you're looking in hindsight or you're trying to solve a problem, you have more options on the table because you're not judging everything that you're looking at.
Yes.
And you're not limiting yourself and you're not comparing yourself to others and how you think you should be playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have more options, you can think outside the box, you can get really creative and, you know, maybe surpass your expectations of yourself.
Yes.
And find new solutions to things that you never would have thought of before.
Exactly. Yeah, when it's really great, Jessica, you have a really good handle on this. So that is awesome. Hopefully, as you're listening to Jessica, you're like, yeah, that's, I get that, right? Because the whole thing is, as a player, and we'll get into this in a moment more when we talk about respond to challenge, it's all about being resourceful, right? How do you be resourceful and resilient? It's the two R's I talk about all the time, resourceful and resilient. And as a player, you want to boost your resourcefulness and resilience in the face of challenges. And when something's not going the way you think it should, if you are judging yourself or this shouldn't be happening or what's wrong with me, if you're in judgment mode, you dramatically restrict your awareness, your possibilities, who you are. It's like you get less and less resourceful, less and less resilient, the more you judge the situation. This shouldn't be happening, or there's something wrong with this, or there's something wrong with me. Then you lose your capability to think bigger, to see possibilities, to expand your options. Just like Jessica said, so the mind is a powerful thing, and you can either turn it inward on itself, or you can open it up outward into the world of possibilities. So, and that really comes from this judgment-free perspective. So that is awesome. Well done, Coach Jessica. Let's hear from Coach Pete. Go for it, Pete.
Hey, Dave. I just wanted to share a quick experience where I've had a couple of players actually take themselves out of the game
mm-hmm.
because not only were they judging themselves or their actions, but they were concerned or afraid that I was judging them as their coach or that other players on the group call might judge them in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
But it brought up all these negative feelings and emotions inside, and they were so focused on the negative feelings and emotions that they completely lost track of the game they were playing.
Yes, exactly. And then they lose the two R's, right? You're no longer resilient and resourceful. And you know, there's the third R. It's really the three R's: response, resourcefulness, resilience. You know, so the more you judge yourself and situations, you close down. And just like Pete said, I think Pete said it very, very well. It's like you are really taking yourself out of the game. Even if you're still, you know, doing things, you're out of the game because you're no longer fully engaged. Awesome. Well done, Pete. Last one. Let's hear from Coach Amy Mondosian. Go for it, Amy.
Hi, guys. I was just going to further support everything that everyone has said so far, but give kind of a scientific perspective
to
that.
Yes, please, let's do that.
Which is that there's been a lot of research done, both in the psychology fields, but also from a biological anatomy, human brain science field, which is that when a person is in judgment or crises or like in an argument, in anger, anything like that, quite literally a portion of the brain shuts down.
Wow.
Because the person, it's a survival mechanism, I guess. And so you need to have your, you know, fight or flight part of your brain, even if you're just in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have full capacity of that, which means that a part of the brain literally has to shut down in order to open up the other part of the brain that you need, you know, in case of...
In case you need to fly.
Something like that. And so so literally you don't have full capacity of your thinking when you are sitting in judgment.
Wow.
So being able to step outside of that and come from the perspective of, you know, assessing a situation without judgment or without anger or, you know, whatever, without any kind of, like, energetic negativity on the situation, actually lends you the full capacity of your thinking.
Awesome.
Which is why you're better able to be resourceful and come up with creative ideas and so forth.
Yes. Well done. That's really good. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Amy. That's really cool. So, you know, it's so funny, I have to say, and, you know, maybe I'm going to take a page from the Toot Your Own Horn playbook, but I have to say, so many things I've learned from 15 years of coaching that, you know, you just learn, you figure it out from coaching 1,000 people. And now there's great scientific research that basically is saying, oh, yeah, when you are judging, you can't think clearly. Well, I've known that for 15 years as a coach. I'm glad the brain science is finally catching up. But I think that it's good that, you know, the things that we have, as coaches, have learned through, you know, so much experience are being validated and explained, you know, from scientific research and psychological research. So I think it's awesome. I'm just, you know, kind of teasing about that a little bit, but it is, it's really cool that we now actually know why what we've learned through experience, we now know why it is that way. So that does really, it really helps us as coaches to emphasize our point, because you can say, hey, I've learned from coaching 1,000 people, or you could say, I've learned from Coach Dave, who's coached 1,000 people, or you can say, look, here's the research. It goes like this. And then that, you know, helps you make your points as a coach when, you know, like we talked about at the beginning, when someone is sitting there, arms folded, really agitated, really in judgment, trying to control, and you can say, look, this state that you're in right now is of no use to help you in living the life you want to live. So the first thing we have to do is change your mindset. Otherwise, we're going nowhere fast. So, and being able to speak about that, you know, anecdotally, but then also scientifically is very valuable. Awesome. Thank you, Amy, for doing that. All right, let's talk a little bit now about how to respond to challenges and understanding this notion of resilience and resourcefulness. Okay, so when you're coaching, you know your player is going to face challenges. Now, this is maybe a silly question, but why do you think games have challenges? Why do games have challenges? What is the purpose of challenge? Anyone have a thought on that? I mean, why do we play games? If we know games are going to have challenges, why do we do this? Coach Ingrid, go for it.
Okay. I think it's to learn and grow and get what you most want.
Yeah, that's a pretty good start. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. If you don't have challenges, you don't grow. Yeah, it's really good. Thank you, Ingrid. I asked the question hoping somebody would give me the obvious answer. So, Ingrid, I'm grateful that you stepped up to that. That's well done. Coach Fred, what would you like to add?
I would say, for the simple fact, it makes the game more enjoyable and engaging. I mean, once sons play video games, and when they reach a level where they can win it or beat it, that game's no longer fun anymore.
Yes.
There's no challenge there. Once there's a challenge, then you really have what's really a game.
Yes. Yeah. No challenge means no game. Great point. Thank you, Fred. Coach Laura, what would you like to add?
Well, mine was in line with the same thing that you said, Dave, but it has to do with just growing and expanding your comfort zone. And I kind of liken it to a balloon. If you blow a balloon up and let the air out, the balloon's going to be bigger each time you blow it up and let the air out. So it's expanding yourself. It's being able to give yourself a new set of skills and just being able to always grow and expand. I feel like without challenges, the opportunity to expand doesn't exist.
Yes, correct. Well done. Yeah, I think you all have a good handle on this. So it's like the very fact that challenges exist is really one of the reasons why we play in the first place. We play because we love challenges. Our brain loves challenges. You know, when we step up to a challenge and our creativity kicks in, we start getting resourceful and we bounce back, we're resilient. And when you are in that mode, your brain loves it. It just starts swimming in happy chemicals, right? So that's why, you know, these video games are so addictive. But life can have that same kind of addiction, you know, this positive addiction. It's like, hey, we keep playing big games in life because we love it. Now, the curious thing is, because we all grew up in the industrial age that is focused only on getting it done, when you're a worker trying to get something done and a challenge happens, it's terrible news. It's like, oh no, now I'm not going to get it done. Or now I'm not going to make my deadline. I'm going to be in trouble. Right? So challenges are bad for a worker. So it's like we've been trained to move away from challenges, to shy away because they slow us down from completing our tasks on time. But as players, the spirit of play within us is actually loving the challenges. We love to step up for challenges. And if we could just let go of the notion that we're going to get in trouble because something didn't happen in a certain time, or something didn't happen exactly the way it was supposed to, which was all an illusion anyway. But we were trained to think that we can control everything. We can have perfect 100% control, and we can make everything happen because man is in control of the universe. Well, we pretty much have learned now that this is utter nonsense, right? We're in control of practically nothing. So let's just face that truth and now live and play in the wonder and mystery of it all. And when you do that, it actually gets to be really, really fun. And that's why this judgment-free awareness is so important. It's like when something is happening that you think, oh, this was not supposed to happen. As a worker, now you're screwed. You're not going to get your thing done on time. But as a player, you're excited. It's like, oh, this is really going to tap into my creativity. This is really going to give me an opportunity to expand my comfort zone. Like Laura said, it's like, woo! Expand my comfort zone, people. Yeah. But that's not how we typically react because we were so trained in the industrial world that problems and challenges are bad for us that we almost don't know how to be players anymore. So we have to relearn how to be a player, how to recognize a challenge, and how to step up to the challenge. I mean, when you hear athletes talk, I mean, if you listen to post-game, pre-game athletes talking, you can't listen for more than 60 seconds before someone is going to say, step up. I mean, that is just, I guarantee you, you listen to any athlete talking about anything, and within 60 seconds, they're going to say, step up. Oh, somebody's going to have to step up. Oh, we're just going to have to step up. Well, what does that mean? That means recognize that it's a challenge. Enjoy it, and then tap into your resourcefulness. Tap into your resilience. Bring out your creative expression. Find a way. That's the fun of play. So it really is going to take a little practice. Now, just a quick poll. How many of you saw the movie Pleasantville? If you did, press a 5. If you saw the movie Pleasantville. Just curious how many of you saw that movie. It's an excellent movie to see the distinction between the Industrial Age and the Inspiration Age. In the Industrial Age, in the movie, it's in black and white, and everything goes perfectly. And everyone is so bored. It is unbelievable how bored everyone is. And then in the Inspiration Age version, it's in color and all kinds of things go wrong. But they're alive. The people are alive. So if you have not seen that movie, which most of you have not, I highly recommend you go and, you know, either rent it if you're old school or new school, you know, get it on Netflix or download or whatever your way of watching movies. I highly recommend you watch Pleasantville in the very near future. You will see that they don't call it Industrial Age and Inspiration Age, but that's what I call it. You'll see the two worlds side by side, and it's a hoot. So I highly recommend you check that out. So our challenge as coaches is, first of all, to learn how to play and really notice ourselves as players and how do we respond to challenges. And then secondly, to teach our players. We have to teach our players how to step up to challenges. And this is a big thing for all of us as coaches to do. So we're going to talk about this. Now, one last little point. And this really has something to do for all of us as coaches. Remember, also, in the Industrial Age, we all went to school. And we sat in our seats and we did what we were told. And if we asked for help, it was cheating. If we asked our neighbor how to help, or we don't know, if we try to get help from our neighbor sitting next to us at the little table, we're cheaters. So you have to remember, most everyone you're coaching thinks that if you're really helping them, they're cheating. It's in their mindset, because that's how they were taught. Whatever we were taught between the ages of like 3 and 12, it sticks in our brains really hard. So we have to teach them that asking for support, asking for help is actually smart. It's not cheating, right? So if your players, when you're coaching your players, you need to actually teach them how to be coached, how to ask questions, how to receive support, how to see if they don't know how to do something. That doesn't mean they're weak. That doesn't mean they're bad. It means they're trying to play bigger and they're smart about having a coach to help them play bigger and help them play better. So if there is really a mindset that we are all trained into that we have to help people break out of. And even if, you know, we're in a program, we know people are supposed to help us, we still have this nagging doubt inside of us that, you know, if you ask for help, that means there's something wrong, right? So we really have to train ourselves and retrain our players that asking for help is wise. It doesn't mean you're cheating. It means you're a good player. All right. Let's listen to this recording of myself and player Pam and see what we can learn from it. And now, there's some of you who are dialed in on the generic PIN code. So while we're listening to this, I am going to pull you out of the room for just 2 seconds just to find out who you are. So you'll only hear that if you're among that group. So I just want to let you all know, let those of you dialed in on the generic PIN code, just be prepared for me to pull you out of the record, listening to the recording for 30 seconds so I can just find out who you are. Okay, here we go. All right. Pam, thank you for being my player.
You bet.
I'm excited to hear how things have been going over the last few days. So let's do a quick check-in.
Okay.
So when we last saw our player Pam, she was. Hold on, Batman. We don't know what's going to happen next. When last we saw player Pam, she was having some family visit, and I challenged you to find some way to engage in invitations and follow-up, even with limited amount of time. So I'm curious to know, how did that go?
Well, I was able to practice my winnable game interview with some of my family members.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. It was cool because I think that my sister-in-law, for example, had a surprising result. Surprising in that, I really have been thinking about this pleasurable thing. It's become a guilt thing. I've got to get it done. I've got to get it done by this time. And just the whole conversation about bringing the spirit of play into it was really, really helpful for her. So that was intriguing for her and also complimentary for me. She said, that's good coaching. That really works. So I had a few examples, a few opportunities like that.
I love that. That's very courageous on your part.
It's harder to ask people in person. It's a lot...
Yes.
It's a lot easier to send an email invitation than to ask in person, and so I recognize that for sure.
Awesome. Well done. So you recognize the challenge just in doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Well done.
Because, we're doing different things, and we're doing that, and, no matter where I was, if I'm in a business meeting, and it's my turn to speak and tell what's up, it's a challenge to know how to say it in a succinct way that invites players in that moment.
Awesome.
So that was interesting. And then I had a coaching session this morning where, as I was talking with my player,
hey, this is Coach Dave. Just want to check in real quick. Who is this on the line?
It's Julie.
Hey, Julie. Great. Thank you. Hey, this is Coach Dave. Just want to check in. Who is this on the line?
This is Lorraine.
Hey, Lorraine. Great. Thank you. Hey, this is Coach Dave. Just want to find out who this is on the line. Hello?
Oops, sorry. Hey, Dave. It's Andrew. It's Andrew. How are you?
Hey, Andrew. Great. Just wanted to make sure I know who you are. Thanks, Andrew.
Okay.
Hey, this is Coach Dave. Just want to find out who this is on the line.
Hey, Coach Dave. It's Stephanie Cosgrove, and I typically go to the evening class, but today I'm in the day class.
Awesome, Stephanie. Thank you. And you also have a desire to another game planning item is to craft your offer to the general public that you could make via radio.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Great. So these are great things because you making offers is really what is probably the biggest challenge that you have in front of you to live the fruitful life that you desire for yourself.
Right.
So these challenges are perfect. I'm very excited.
Hey!
Woo-hoo!
All right. Let's go.
So this is great. So Pam, when you look at these two challenges, and these are great challenges because they're not just one-off things. Like, if you figured out how to make the right offer to a manager to coach their team on playing to their strengths, that would be an offer you could make over and over and over again, and it would be really fun and fruitful.
Right.
Right? If you figure out how to make an offer of coaching to the general public, whether it's by radio or Facebook or any other way, if you got really good at that, that would be very fruitful.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So these are two of the biggest, most important challenges of your game, and here they are sitting right in front of us.
Right.
All right, so now my big question for you is, how do you feel about these challenges? What is your feeling about them when you think about articulating the right offer to coach this guy's team or articulating your offer to go on the radio of your offer for coaching to the public? What is your kind of response to this type of challenge?
Nervous excitement. I mean, it's what I want. It's what I want and what I've wanted. And so it's really big. It just makes me excited and, you know, want to jump in there and play.
Okay.
And then there's that also that part that says, oh, but my website needs to be better.
Mm-hmm.
So that people can click on it and see exactly what I do.
Yes.
It makes me feel like, you know, I should have my filing system and my, you know, the systems, the environment set up better and differently so that I can, you know, have this machine set up so that I'm ready for all of it.
Okay. That is very good. It's good to notice all those thoughts. I like that. And there's usually when we have these kinds of thoughts, there's always grains of truth in them. It might not be totally true, but there's usually a grain of truth.
Okay, because you're not buying it.
Just a little grain of truth. Awesome. All right, well, this is really good. Now, do you have any experience of making offers like this in the past?
So not much, really. In both categories, I would say that they're mostly new, whether it's a public announcement to invite players. That's pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've been on the radio and I've been interviewed and I've been, you know, talked about programs that I'm involved in.
Mm-hmm.
This is new to actually be playing for a result.
Yes.
Versus educating people about a program that's available in the community. So there's definitely a difference.
Okay, so you have some relevant skills.
Yeah, yeah. And then for the asking a business owner, I have done it, but not with success.
Mm-hmm.
Like minimal success.
Minimal success.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, all right. So this is good. So, in both of these, you have some relevant skill, but honing and refining your skills would be very useful.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can accept that. That sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. So if we look at this challenge of, which one would you like to talk about first? The general offer to the public or offering the manager to coach his team?
No. The offering to the owner to train his team, I said, I mean, we're going to talk about it next time we meet, which is in 2 weeks. We are going to do it.
So that's imminent.
So there's a deadline on that.
Okay, good.
The offer to the public on the radio station, I really wanted that to happen too.
Okay.
I want that to happen by fall.
Okay, then we've got to get moving on both.
Yeah.
I think they may also be related in many ways, too. All right. So let's talk about the offer to the manager, since that's imminent in 2 weeks. I promise you, we will do both over the next couple of sessions together.
Okay?
We will do both, because they're both awesome. And they're both critical to your game and living the fruitful life. So this is great. We'll do both. Let's just focus on one just for this moment, okay?
Yeah.
So let's talk about you and talking to a manager. It's in the same ballpark as the researcher gal that you talked to when she told all her staff about your coaching.
Yes.
So there's probably some ballpark similarities there. And so this seems like a recurring theme. So if you got really good at this and made how to make an offer, it could really be something for you, because it seems to be happening just by itself.
That's exciting.
So that's actually pretty exciting. That's really a testament to who you are and how people perceive you. So you do have a leverageable asset in your, how people know you. So that is good. That's really good. All right. So first thing is this challenge of how to make the right offer to a manager and how to deliver it. How can you approach this challenge with the spirit of play?
Oh, gosh. Why is that a surprising question to me?
Yeah, really. I shouldn't have thrown you off track with that question.
I know, crazy, but I'm thinking about it as work.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's firstly a good observation. So you would normally take a situation like this and say, okay, I've got to get to work on this.
Yeah.
That's your typical approach, which would be perfectly understandable. So let's really look creatively right now and say, okay, how could we make this play?
If I'm thinking of another manager, maybe I could say I'd like to take you out for a cup of coffee and we'll chat about it. Or
ooh, I really like that.
You
would practice some. Like you'd find a couple people to practice your offer with to kind of hone it based on other people that would have some insight for you. That would be really, that would be what a really smart player would do. Do you think that's, do you think you should be a smart player? What do you think?
Sure. Yeah, I
want to
be a smart player.
Yeah, why not be a smart player? Well, it's so because a worker just wants to get it done and just thinks they have to do it perfect the first time, which is going to be a trap because since you have no idea what you're doing it perfectly the first time is pretty much a impossible, unwinnable game. But as a worker, that's what you do. Like, all right, I got to get it done. I'm just going to do it. But you're a player.
Yeah.
So one thing you can do is find some people to practice with.
Okay.
Can you think of a few people you could talk to?
Yes, I have two people for sure that I could talk to, and probably more. I could easily think of more, but I can think of two people that have been just kind of hanging there on my list of I'd like to make an offer to them, but I don't have an offer, so I need to buckle down and make an offer.
All right, good, that's perfect. All right, so now, how can you approach these practice players with the spirit of play?
I feel like I don't have the product. I don't have the game.
Okay, good. Perfect. You don't, which is true. You don't have it. So how can you approach them with the spirit of play, which play is about co-creating?
Okay, so I'm going to ask two people in different industries to meet with me 3 or 4 times so we can co-create an amazing employee training thing, and then I'll practice it on both of your employee sets. And then I don't have to have the product. I just have to make the invitation and buy lunch.
There you go. Now you're thinking.
And both of these people are HR people.
Which is very handy and convenient.
Yeah. Okay, I like that.
Because
and
the truth is, you don't know.
Yeah. And I think I'm trying to make it seem like I do.
Yes. Which is deadly.
It is deadly because it ends up paralyzing me.
Because then how are you going to do it perfect when you don't even know?
Yeah,
you don't even know.
Right.
So you can't do it perfect, so then you can't even move.
So I've got to read umpteen books before I can even start.
Right.
But I like that, just the co-creation, the beginner's mindset, you know, I think I'd be good at this. I'm excited about it, and I'd like to practice on you and your company. What do you think?
That's a pretty good start. And even before that is, I'd like, if you would let me buy you lunch, I'd like to talk with you for an hour and see if you could help me put together ideas of how I can blend my coaching knowledge with your real-world experience to co-create a new program that helps managers and their employees play a winning game together or something. I'm just making this up.
Yeah, okay.
So it's got a little innovation because no one's talking to them about how to play a winning game together. So you could say, look, I'm really getting all jazzed up about the spirit of play and how it's really influencing people to be more productive and more happy. And I'm trying to create a program, but I need some assistance from people in the real corporate world. Would you sit down with me for an hour and help me co-create and start putting some ideas together?
Okay.
And you don't have to say that, but I'm just giving you an example.
Yeah.
So what would be, all you have to do is, all you need to sit down at that table is 2 or 3 ideas, like launching pad ideas. Not solutions, just ideas. So what would be your 2 or 3 launching pad ideas? What would be your just your vision of a couple thoughts that you want to weave into a totally new kind of program to do with organizations and their employees.
The spirit of play. I think that's a biggie.
Yes, good. What else?
To be solution-focused rather than problem-saturated.
Awesome.
So in other words, we're looking at strengths, we're finding things that work, and then we're making those grow.
I like it. What's one more?
I don't know, family friendly maybe, that it works for people in their, that it's acknowledging that workers, that players have a real life.
Nice. I think that is awesome. And just for fun, you might want to just throw coaching in there as a paradigm to add into the mixer.
Well, I thought you would... Well, yeah, but I thought you were asking me. I guess, yeah.
No, I'm teasing you, Pam. No, these are three great things: spirit of play, solution focus versus problem saturation, family aware, family friendly, you know, kind of reality based, and then all within the context of how coaching is going to make the difference.
Okay.
So those are your three ideas, and now you have really no idea where to go with it, and so now you're going to sit down with your friends and co-create.
So then I look at the practicality of that, and I think, well, I can't do that until I get back from my next trip, which I leave on Wednesday. And then when I get back, then the next week I'm going to be meeting with this guy to say, okay, here's what I can offer you or your employees.
All right, so how are you going to creatively do it between now and then with what you've got on your plate?
You know, my sister-in-law, who I'm going to be staying with in Maryland, she's a manager. She's a business owner.
Well, that's a creative idea. There you go.
Okay.
And how long are you going to be there for?
Well, I'll be east for a week, but I could say sometime while I'm with you, can we sit down for an hour and just talk about this?
Awesome. And how about if you boldly ask her to set up for you for while you're there to meet with one of her friends that's a manager in the same company or another company? Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I don't like about it is my vacation time is already with having two class periods for this class. And
are you trying to tell me that you think about this as work?
Yeah, maybe so. No, not as work, because I want to be there and I want to, but just the time constraints. I don't want to.
Okay, Pam, listen, you have choices. It's your game, right? You can either think of this as fun and play with it while you're away. It could be the perfect thing to create a fun thing while you're on a holiday. That's one way you could do it. Or you could call the guy and say, look, we need to push back our meeting 1 week. I have a big idea. Can't talk to you till an extra week when I get back.
I think I could set up a meeting with somebody here locally for right when I get back, before I meet with this guy.
All right. So you've got your sister-in-law, get another meeting set up, sit down with the guy with preliminary findings, and let it rip. I like it.
Yeah.
Pam?
And I think, really, I think that he is into co-creating it, too. I mean, it's not like I have to give him a, you know, a three-ring binder with the program that I do, because he has his own ideas of how he wants it to look.
Now you're really getting playful. You're going to co-create it with the actual client. Wow!
Right.
Holy mackerel! Pam, you just entered the realm of play. Pam, that's fantastic. That's a fantastic idea. That takes all the pressure off.
Yeah, it does. And I can say and think for myself, honestly, I'm doing this with several people, so I'm gathering information.
And you're co-creating.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice, Pam. Pam, we need to wrap this session up. Please tell me what is your recap?
Well, I mean, I feel excited and I feel like it's doable. I'm, you know, wondering what kinds of questions I would ask. Would I ask them how much would you pay for it? Because that's a biggie for me, is figuring that out. But it's feeling very doable and a lot less like work, a lot more like play. Just bringing it into that co-creation mode makes it feel more like play, for sure.
All right. And you can ask them, you could ask other people, you can ask all kinds of people. The truth is, you don't know how much to charge, so that's a challenge. You can find out.
Cool.
Awesome, Pam. Well done.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you for an awesome coaching session. You were fantastic.
All right, there we go. So there's a coaching session all about how your player is responding to challenges. So I thought it was a really fun session. And so when you get together with your player, your partner here in a moment, that's all I want you to do. I don't want you to try to do a complete, whole, perfect coaching session. All I want you to do for 20 minutes is to look at as many challenges as you can and use a few fundamental questions. How can you bring the spirit of play to this challenge? How is this challenge serving you? How will this challenge help you become a better player? How will this challenge help you expand your comfort zone? Like, turn the whole idea of a challenge on its head, right? Usually when we have a challenge, it's a problem, it's delaying us, we're not going to meet our deadline. I mean, we have a very bad relationship with challenges coming out of our industrial upbringing. So what I really want you to do with your partner is really challenge the way they respond to challenges. Really explore, like, oh, I have this challenge that I was really upset about, but now I think I could get excited about it. And I have this challenge that I thought was causing me delay, but I see is really causing me to get, you know, more holistic in how I see things or whatever, right? So I want you to really look, get as many challenges on the table as you can, and then explore them together. What's some creative ideas? How can you be resourceful? How is this helping you become resilient? So just explore challenges. Again, don't try to do a whole complete perfect session and wrap it up with the perfect action plan or any of those things. Let the action plan sort of evolve or, you know, come out of insights that you get from the challenges that are coming to the table. All right, so let me hear your thoughts. Quick wrap up, quick insights. What is your takeaway? What is your highlight? What did you pick up on in listening to that session with myself and Player Pam? Anyone who would like to share a thought, please raise your hand. Coach Christiana, please go for it.
Thanks. Oh, my God, that was amazing. What I loved about what you did with her is she said, okay, you know, I feel like I have to have my foundation first. I have to have my website. I have to be organized for all of this. And you did it in a very playful way where you were like, okay, there's a grain of truth to that. And then you just moved on. So instead of it blocking her, because I know this with players, they'll, like, put all the roadblocks up, and just the way that you breezed over it. And you also reframed everything like, it felt like to me the bigger the challenge, the more enthusiasm brought to it, like, that's great. And it snapped them out of the work mode, but into, oh, this is different. So they actually paid attention and thought from a different perspective.
Perfect. That's awesome. Well done. Yeah, good insight. Let's hear from Kim Beasley. Go for it.
I had one of my excuses knocked out of the water. And I want to thank you very much for doing that. Because I wasn't satisfied with the process I had in place for how I was getting people into my class as far as payment goes. And I kept trying to refine it. Oh, I can't get it out there because I got to refine this and refine it. And I kept coming up with excuses, and I realized those excuses were holding me back.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what, I'm just going to put a quick fix in place and just push it out there and get it realized in listening to that coaching session that I had been doing that. I had been putting a roadblock in my own way.
Mm-hmm.
And in listening to that, I said, okay, I'm going to simplify things and it's out there. So thank you, because I realized I was doing it and didn't realize what it was that I was doing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's beautiful. and again, this is all coming out of a deep understanding that all of us coaches must bring to every conversation, that everyone we're coaching over the age of 20, 25 was brought up in the industrial age. They went to an industrial age school. It's all about, you got to get it right the first time. It's got to be perfect. Mistakes, you know, zero defects, no mistakes. And you can't live like that. You can't play like that. But we're all taught that's how to approach things. And so we get stuck so fast. I mean, we are all moving in molasses because we are so stuck on got to get it right. Got to be perfect. Can't make mistakes. Don't ask for help. If you do, you're cheating or you're weak or, you know, all this stuff. Well, if we could be more fluid, make mistakes, try, fail, ask for help, see how someone else is doing, you know, move. We could be so much more fluid. We'd be enjoying life. We'd be getting so much more results so much faster. But we had that playful way of life trained out of us. And so we have to bring it back, right, for all of us, for ourselves. And then for everyone we coach, a playful way of life. Play everything. Be playful. Experiment. Try things. It doesn't have to be perfect. Those of you in UIBC, you've heard Alex say things like sloppy success is better than perfect mediocrity, right? So, you know, these are all ideas in that same ballpark. But it's really about how do we free ourselves from the perfection trap. Free yourself, free your players, free. We have to free each other from the perfection trap. Okay, so that's a big part of what responding to challenges is all about. It's like, oh, how awesome, we have this challenge. How exciting. How is this perfect for you? How is this going to expand your comfort zone? How is this going to make you more resourceful? How can we tap into your creativity? So all I want you to do with your partners right now is practice looking at challenges from this new coaching framework, all right? That's, you know, maybe a quick check-in, 1 or 2 minutes, and then dive right into it. All right, let's look at some challenges. What's happening? What's not happening? What are you facing? And let's look at it using this judgment-free mindset. All right. Also, the other thing is, before we get into the partners, most people are with their same partners, as always. Eva, Charlotte, you're with Garnet today. And Fred and Laura, you are together, and I'm going to have you two be partners from this point forward. So get to know each other, because you are now set as partners. Everyone else, I think, is pretty much set. Cheryl, you're with Stephanie today. And then also, if you would not mind having your dyad partner practice session recorded to be part of our training program, If you would not mind having it recorded, press a 1, and I will not. I will only choose groups where both people don't mind being recorded. So if you don't mind being recorded for the purposes of our training calls or training recordings, just press a 1, and I'll just see if I can find a group where both people pressed 1 together. All right. Thank you for that. Okay, here we go. So let's get in the game. All right, so bear with me a moment. All right, you're all set. You have you'll have about 18 minutes each. Enjoy, and I'll let you know when it's time to switch. Okay, go.
Oh, thank you. How are you?
Doing very well. It sounds like you had a big week.
Yeah, I did. Thanks to you, I guess.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's exciting. Tell me what worked. What worked for you in your experience that you shared?
Well, actually, I got 3 new players.
3? Holy cow.
Yes. So I got 2 on a free basis from the local business network, and then I got 1 today, which I told you about during the session. So that felt really great.
Excellent. So what was different for you this week? What do you think helped create those positive results?
Well, I think it's a combination between, kicking up some dirt and grabbing the moment and not looking for the obstacles, but... just playing with them and looking around the corner and get curious what you can find there.
Cool. So I'm just excited for you. I think that's really fun. As you were, I don't know why I'm, all of a sudden I feel like I'm just jumping into coaching you. I don't know why, but maybe it's because I'm so excited about your
yeah, go ahead. No problem.
Your success. What... what you just said, you kicked up the dirt, grabbed the moment, and you played with the obstacles. So what did that look like? What was kicking up the dirt and grabbing the moment? What did you do?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a coincidence because I went to the meeting last week and I had this session with a local network and I worked on that and it kind of fell into places this week. So... that is kind of a coincidence, but today's thing was that I was a little bit hesitating about going to this seminar because, you know, it consumed some time from you and I didn't know if it was worth it and et cetera. But finally I said to myself that, oh, come on, let's go and see what it's about, and actually it turned out to be really good, both the seminar. And then I just got into a chat with this lady, and she had a really good idea for some work. And we just got into chat, and we had lunch together, and we continued chatting. And finally, I ended up recruiting her. So I just sent away an email with my offer, and she accepted it. So actually, we have a fall break here next week, so we will start after the break.
Okay.
So that was really, really amazing, and I think also I have kind of gathered all that I've learned during the past month, and I wasn't afraid to use it.
Congratulations.
That's Thanks.
Exciting. And the only thing I want to reframe is your little coincidence. And I think, sure, maybe it was a little coincidence. You could also maybe consider calling it a little bit of consistent, a little bit of consistent
yeah.
effort.
Yeah,
that's different.
Yeah, but by coincidence, I mean that it happened this week. It could happen next week or last week or whatever, but it all happened this week. And, well, that's fine. And I think that the more you have in your basket, so to speak, if you put in a lot of ideas and you kick up dirt and you have a lot of things going on, then it's more likely that you get some outcome.
Yes, I agree. I think you're
right. I mean, if you have three prospects, what is the likeliness that you get a payable player? But I mean, if you have 30, it's more likely that you get at least some.
And so what is that, what does that tell you, that you, where is a fruitful, what am I trying to ask? The question is what can you learn from that? What can you learn from that you just shared with me about how you, where you spend some time and energy?
Well, I guess I used my method of working in my, so to speak, old world. If you have to find, for instance, new customers, it's the same thing here. I think that maybe I've had some inner resistance because I didn't really feel confident about, well, selling myself as a coach. But now I said to myself, well, why not trying this? It might work. So,
it might work, and here it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so confidence might be a challenge. What other, when we look at some of your other things, learn, study, and practice were on your highlights from last week. What other challenges have you encountered this week?
Well, I
have
actually...
Have there been any? It sounds like a great week of success. So as you look at your game, even now moving forward, what challenges are you feeling are present?
One other thing that I also settled this week is that I found a new structure with my old work. So I felt a little bit more confident time-wise that I structured my old customers and I dedicated them to a certain date. So that kind of freed up some space and time for me. So I also felt more confident in, recruiting more players because I feel that I have time to take care of them. So I think that was also a confidence that helped me this week. So I think there were a lot of things that fell into place. So I felt more confident overall about my overall situation.
When you look at your old work, and I know that's been a challenge that you've talked about before, is juggling the time, and it looks like you made some good adjustments this week on that.
Yeah.
And is it possible to bring the spirit of play into your old work so that it frees up even more of your energy and it becomes an advantage to you rather than a weight or something that you have to do?
Oh, definitely. I think that's the... I really like today's session about how to look upon challenges and also the session with Coach Dave and Pam, how to not see things as a to-do list or, check it off as a task list and to bring more play into even the old part of my world. So definitely. I'm really happy about these 4 weeks or whatever it is now. I really feel that I've grown a lot and learned a lot and see things a little bit differently.
Thank you. That's really an exciting thing. I think even since last Friday when we visited, I can hear a really big difference in the level of confidence and the energy you have around that. And I think that'll continue to carry forward for you because that energy that you have around what you're sharing with me will be shared with other people also.
Yeah, and it's nice. It kind of fell into to places this week. And you asked me about challenges that I see in the future. And, well, of course, there are a lot, but I think one will be to maintain this fruitful balance between the two sets of customers. And I'm also very, very curious about starting these. Now I got these players, but I haven't really started with them yet. I just had the first conversation. So I'm really, really excited about, conducting the first coaching session, actually. So that, of course, will be a challenge, but I see it as a very positive one.
Right. Well, what, as you look forward for this week, what are the results you would like to play for? What are the results you want to play for this week? Is it having these first visits with these customers, or because your results from before, you've accomplished some of those things quite excitingly this week. So how do you want to update your game?
I will try to recruit another one, actually, because next week we will have the fall break, so that will be kind of a dead week for me, not for me personally, but I won't be able to conduct any interviews during that week. So I will try for this coming week to recruit another player, and then I will keep on studying and preparing for those, and then they will all get started after the break, actually.
Okay.
So, that's the way it is. But I do have some tasks, or, well, not tasks, but what do you say, things to do with my old work as well for the coming week. So I think it will be a good one, maybe a little less busy, but I think I will kind of also enjoy what I've accomplished.
I think that's very well earned. you put a lot of energy and time into it. You should definitely enjoy that and savor that. Because you're going to have a little bit more time this week, not that we want to just fill up all of that time, but is there, as you look at the balance between your coaching clients, your coaching players, as well as your marketing and your other customers that you're serving, and balancing those, are there any challenges you want to work on and look at a little bit closer that we can address together?
I think that I'm not fully learned yet, so I still need to address and focus on my inner resistance a little bit, that I still feel a little uncomfortable.
I didn't hear you. Your inner confidence,
okay.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, the inner resistance that I not feel fully comfortable or a little, scared or... I think when you have recruited some players, you get more confidence, but it's not 100% yet, so there's still room for improvement, so to speak. And I think I will try to keep on working on that, and I will try to contact my friend at ICF, and also some other contacts, and actually tell them about what has happened to me and discuss it with them and get their feedback and maybe some tips and advice and et cetera. So I think I will try to share what has happened to me during the last week and see if I can learn something more from them.
To continue the learning process sounds like a great great idea. And I think even when we share our successes, it does, it helps build our confidence. So I think,
yeah,
I think you're right. How is your studying going? Is there, are you able to put some of the time, I know that was one of your goals. Has that been something that has also been able to happen with everything else?
Yeah, it actually has. And I have put together like a lecture where I can offer my services, and I have put my information together, and I really worked hard this week.
So, yeah, I can tell. I can tell. It's really, I don't know what to talk to you about, Charlotte. It sounds like you're just doing, accomplishing so much of what you had hoped to, and it sounds like you've really jumped in and allowed yourself to play this week.
Yeah, it has been great, really. And I've updated my homepage, and I've worked with my offer, and I'm really ready to rock and roll.
I can hear that. What else do you want to work on? Because I don't know what to work on. How's that?
I do have a lot to work on.
What would you like to focus on?
I don't know exactly. Maybe one challenge could be to call someone and offer the services, not only sending letters or by Facebook or email or whatever. That could be a challenge.
That's not hard.
Yeah, I think that's, as Coach Pam said, that is harder, to offer something face-to-face or through telephone or, well, I did it today, but that was really a little bit by coincidence. It was very informal, and we just started to talk, and then it turned out to be a recruiting discussion. It was nothing that I planned before, so I think that was good.
So would it be possible to take that same pattern that you tried today that brought you success in other conversations that you're having in other places,
yeah,
where maybe you're not, maybe it's not you're picking someone and definitely calling them, but you are opening up your mind a little bit bigger.
You have one more minute.
To be present in conversations and extend that invitation.
Yeah, I think so. And to expose myself into different areas or different groups or in many ways. It could be at the dinner party or at the lunch or at the seminar. Doesn't matter, but just to expose oneself is good. To be visible, as Coach Dave said, to be visible and to share and to have that confidence to share what you're doing.
Well, I can hear, I can hear an amazing difference in the confidence in this week and last week, and so I hope you hold on to that and really as you look at in recruiting another player and inviting someone else to rely on this energy that you have and to use it to your advantage as you converse with other people.
Yeah, I will try.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
All right, well, folks.
I just
time,
want to give you
time
another,
to switch oh. partners. Go for it. You have 18 more minutes. Go.
Okay, I just will want to do a cheer for you, Charlotte. So I'll send you a cheer on your card.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. So Michelle, how was your week?
That's nice to hear, because I like excitement. That shows me that you are playing at 100%, and that's great. And I guess you had quite a lot of fun during the last few days. And is that right?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
That's great.
I finally realized I was getting in my own way. I kept talking about how I had this training coming up and I hadn't set a date of when I was going to do it. I hadn't really solidified it, and yet I had planned a pilot. And I'm going, okay, I need to get things really structured to where, I mean, I was going back to the old way of, oh, everything's got to be, all the I's got to be crossed, dotted, the T's got to be crossed, everything's got to be perfect and in order for this to work and blah, 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 blah. And I was working myself up into, you know, overwhelmed. And so I stopped and I sat back this weekend and I said, okay, first of all, I need to fine-tune my curriculum. And I did that. I said, okay, I need to bring fun and play into this. So I did that, and then I said, okay, why haven't I put the word out on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn like I've told other people to do their events? And I'm going, because I haven't set a date. And I said, I mean, this is me walking myself through the process, coaching myself.
Cool.
I wanted to get to the root of why I wasn't getting my my event out there. And so I said, why don't I have it out there? I said, well, I'm not satisfied with the way the payment process is working. It's too complicated, and it's too this, it's too that. And finally I said, you know what? If it's too this or that, I need to simplify it. So I went in, I looked at what I was doing and how it worked, and I was like, all I got to do is add this one message here, and then I can simplify it. And once I get the pilot done, then I can know which direction I need to go after I have completed the training. Because what I was trying to do was, I have the process in place for people to purchase the training, but I was also trying to build a community that would allow the participants to interact. Well, it's not that point yet. And that was holding me up. So I was trying to plan too much into where I am right now with the whole process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's exciting. I really can hear it from your voice, your excitement, and that's really great. And, yeah, I just have to tell you I'm really happy to hear what's happening for you and how you figured it out by yourself. That's really great. And on this way, how did you, which kind of challenges you identified on this way? Can you tell me a little bit about this?
Yes, I was flipping back. One challenge, I was flipping back into the old corporate thinking of I got to complete this task, and I wasn't looking at the fun of playing the game, of planning my event. And so I had to change my mindset to where I wasn't doing that anymore. Another issue I had was I was overwhelming myself with the whole event because I wasn't looking at it as a game that I was playing. I was looking at it more of as a task that I have to complete. And so I was allowing myself to get overwhelmed. Procrastination almost slipped in. I hate procrastination, and I almost let it slip in and hinder me. So what I did was I stepped back and I said, okay, what are the things that need to be done right now? Let me do them.
Yeah.
And things that can wait till next week, I can let those wait till next week. These are the things I need to have in place in order for me to have a successful pilot. And I had to break it down into nuggets, smaller nuggets that I could chew on week by week in order to be successful in what I want to do.
Excellent, excellent. I like this breaking down in smaller nuggets or smaller pieces or smaller steps. I call it always in little baby steps. I like this picture. And yeah, if you just put one foot after the other, you will reach your goal. And that's what you figured out. So was this the typical approach, how you were handling challenges, or did you face some new kind of challenge which you never had before?
The new challenge I faced was really structuring, or not, I don't want to say structuring, laying out my game plan so that I didn't overwhelm myself, because I was so used to overwhelming myself with the planning process. What was new to me was putting it in stages so that I wouldn't get overwhelmed. Also new in the process was my connecting with organizations to offer their members a discount for signing up for my for the training, for the web camp. And the great thing about that is that I have 1, 2, 3, 4 organizations that have committed to allow me to get the message out to their And I started I started getting it out today, even though they committed before. I procrastinated, and I finally kicked myself in the behind and said, okay, it's time to do it. So I got it out today, and to two organizations. The third organization I'm getting out tomorrow, and then the fourth one has been kind of an ongoing thing, and she's one of my evangelists who is actually helping me get the word out on LinkedIn. So I personally set up event on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and now strategizing it, whether or not I want to purchase ad space. So.
Cool.
Yeah, that's where I am right now.
Great. And what are you planning to do if you face a situation again that you might fall back in, let's say, the corporate mode? Have you any ideas how you can handle this in the future, or can you do something in advance to avoid this kind of situation?
Yes, I determined that I need to look at everything I work on as a game. And in doing that, I want to keep the fun in the whole process of the game, from the point of planning to the point of implementation, or the point of kicking off the game. And so what I'm learning from this process of getting the web camp set up and going, I'm applying to the next project that I have that will kick off in January. And it's not trying to stack everything up all at once. Spread assignments or activities out over the course of time and complete them in a way that I'm not overwhelming myself or stressing myself out. So, for instance,
I was just asking how this would look like.
Oh, and I'm getting ready to give you an example. Okay. So I decided I want to start up KimLive.tv. It will be a live online TV show where I will interview different people. And I wanted to start it right away, but I looked at my plate and I said, okay, is this a game that I can play right now? And I determined it wasn't, because I wanted to get all of my cultural training done and completed before I started that project, since it's going to be so intensive.
And I was already involved with the online cooking show that I stepped down from because I wanted to make sure I was able to completely give all of my concentration to Coachville that I needed to. So with looking at my schedule, I determined January was the first opportunity that I would have to actually sit down and implement the live TV show. What I'm doing now is I'm connecting with people and letting them know in January I'm kicking off a live TV show and I want them to be one of the people that I interview. I already have one person lined up and I'm lining up others as I go along.
Sounds great. And do you have a record system of your progress?
Yes, I'm keeping, funny you should ask that. I'm keeping the progress on where I am and where I need to be. Yes. You want me to share it with you? I know.
Okay.
And I'm in the process
and
of getting, go ahead. I'm getting ready to set up my mind map for the TV show also.
Great, and at by what time you will have finished your mind map for the TV show?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What time the mind map will be finished for the TV show?
It'll be the weekend before I can work on it, so I'll say a week.
Okay, cool. And, yeah. Looking at your new big projects, which are coming along, how can you make sure that this all these new tasks fit in your, let's say, your private life and your health life? Do you have a plan that this is according to the rest to all the other areas in your life?
Funny you should ask that because one of the groups I'm a member of on Facebook, I actually asked if there were people who would commit to a 21-day good habit commitment, and I had two ladies who submitted that they would do the 21-day good habit commitment with me. And the funny thing is, all three of us said we were going to do more walking.
So
that's one way I'm doing the personal commitment. And I'm also committed to making sure I step away from my computer, step away from my desk every day. And what that looks like, it looks like him going in her living room, laying down on the couch for anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes and just chilling, watching TV, doing nothing that will require me to think, just so I can have some downtime. Or it may mean me grabbing up a book, sitting and reading, or me taking a nap. But I'm committed to giving myself that break at least once a day, and then I take mini breaks where I walk away from the computer for about 5 minutes throughout the day.
Wow. It really sounds to me that you are perfectly set up for your new projects. I like it. Wow. You really rock. And I can't wait to see new results. And actually, I personally can't wait until I can join your pilot group on Thursday night. So... Yeah, it will be awesome. Nevertheless, is there anything you can think of which might get in your way?
Yeah, me.
You. And how can you make sure that you will not disturb yourself?
The one thing that I have been guilty of in the past that I will work on not being guilty of again, and that is overcommitment. Overcommitment leads to
was a whim for me.
Yeah. Wow. I really can relate to this from my own experience. Yeah, I commit to something and I do everything to keep it. And sometimes, yeah, the price is really, really high. If I look at my body health and if I look at the amount of sleep, yeah, it doesn't turn out every time at the best, in the best shape. So, yeah, from my own experience, it's a big challenge to decide how much you put on your plate every day, that you are not getting into situations where you will be stressed by your own commitments. So I really look forward to hear, and I really like what you said, that you will have a nap on your lounge and just chill out for a while and take a short walk into the living room, have a drink, and leave the PC for a couple of minutes. That's great, Kim. I really, really like it. Perfect.
Yay, thank you.
Yeah.
I am looking so forward to this training with the pilot group. When I sat down Saturday to refine, to finalize the things that I wanted to teach, I was sitting there and I'm like, okay, I want to make this a wow web camp. I don't want it to just be something you come to and go, oh, okay, that was nice, thank you. I want it to really...
You have one more minute.
I wanted to really open up your eyes and to the possibility of branding yourself on G+ and branding your business on G+. I mean, one real quick classic example was when I shared Christiana's video on G+ last night. It was late last night. One of the ladies that saw it wanted me to connect her to Christiana because she wants her to come speak at her event.
Awesome.
That one thing that I did by reaching out for Christiana, it helped me to connect with the lady, and now she... I presented my web camp to her organization and gave them a discount for signing up. And I'm looking forward to really connecting with other organizations to do the same thing. It's really me stepping out and stepping up and living and playing a big game.
Wow. You really are playing a big, big game. I'm proud of you, Kim.
Please bring your conversation to a close. This breakout session is now ending.
All right, folks, take a quick moment to thank your partners, and we'll come back together and debrief.
Okay, Kim, thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to talk to you tomorrow after my Coach Will session. Session, and then on Thursday again.
Right, here we go. All right, we are back together. So let's hear what happened. What did you learn about challenges and responding to challenges? What did you learn about the distinction between responding to challenges and reacting to challenges, for an example, or anything else you would like to share? So let me hear from you. Let's hear from Coach Ingrid. Go for it, Ingrid.
Oh, thank you. I got some superb coaching from Craig. He asked me some really powerful questions that are now leaving me with food for thought. But the thing that came out for me is I'm so results-oriented and focused. Getting to the point of being able to celebrate little successes and make them be results in the process of results towards my ultimate game.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is a big deal.
Yes.
I don't know how to do that yet. So my skill level is probably a 1 or a 2 in that capacity. But in any event, it's a wake-up call. So I was challenged in a very pleasant way, and it's opened my eyes up to some stuff that I think is really relevant for me.
Awesome. Well done. And great job by Coach Craig. Thank you for sharing that, Ingrid. That's really awesome. Coach Sven, what would you like to share?
I want to like to share, as a player, I first had so much fun with Kim. I thank you so much. And the big takeaway is I'm so excited in the new project that I really have to take care to take me out for a little while every day just to sit down, relax, and think about. So don't risk to get stuck in the red race. Very much. Even if I'm excited, it's important to slow down.
Yeah, you have to rest between games.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about this a little later in the program, but it's a very important concept for players to recognize that you cannot play any game, 24/7 without rest. You know, and even the highest performers in the games of life that we observe, they actually play very little, so that when they do play, they have a lot of energy to put into it. So, in our career games, business games, we probably are going to play more than 90 minutes a day. But, if you are really playing full on for 4 hours and then resting and recovering and doing other things, other games, you could probably orchestrate a pretty amazing life for yourself. So something to think about for sure. Great, Sven. Great awareness. Let's hear from Coach Sean.
Hey, everybody. What I kind of realized is I was playing my game pretty full on as a game. And so things that in the past, I had trouble coming up with things that were challenges for me this week. Because when I was playing as a game, they don't seem like challenges. They just seem like parts of the game that make the game more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And anything can be turned into a game. I mean, I was telling the story that I went to go get some gluten-free bread, which is not necessarily easy considering where I'm at, and I turned even doing that as a game. So
yes.
Going to get bread can be a game if you want it to be and you choose to let it be.
Yes, I love that. Good. Well, I that is good, Sean, and hopefully your coach, Chris, was able to help you see even bigger, or even look at, even if you are seeing the challenges as part of the game, you can also see, how you can respond to them even more creatively, more resourcefully. So you can always keep growing and getting better as a player. But that is good. You are a highly advanced player. So that is a beautiful thing. Awesome, Sean. Well done. And good luck on your gluten-free bread quest.
Thanks.
I love that.
It was successful. I can say I that was a winnable game. I won that game.
All right. Awesome. Well done. That's perfect. Coach Phyllis, what would you like to share?
My coach was Coach Pete, and I thought he did a real good job in maintaining a judgment-free awareness because I had no shortage of challenges. And all of my challenges are internally based. I can't really think of external challenges.
Okay.
And he maintained, I thought, a very good judgment-free awareness sense about himself, so it was real comfortable sharing those challenges.
All right, that's really good. And you bring up an excellent point that I didn't bring up earlier, that there really are three types of challenges. There are challenges that are inherently part of the game, the different obstacles or things that you face in pursuit of the results. There are also inner challenges, conflicting thoughts, feelings, habits. Those are a very common kind of challenge, inner challenges. And then you also have environmental challenges, missing resources, obstacles in your environment. So there's three types of challenges, and you can learn a heck of a lot from all three. So that's awesome, Phyllis. Well done. Thank you for bringing that into the conversation. Let's hear from... And also, just a quick note, if you have an abundance of challenges, that is good. That means you are entering into a beautiful growth zone. So that is good.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Yeah, if you remember that. Thanks, Coach. I really wasn't thinking of that right now, but but that is a way you could look at it. Awesome. Thank you, Phyllis. And Coach Todd, what would you like to share?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I tried, as always, approach this with an open mind, and I was totally blown away during our coaching session because my challenge was trying to get my head completely around the game that I had chosen for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And my coach, Coach B, sensed and was perceptive enough to realize that I really hadn't bought into my own game.
Uh-huh.
So she gave me permission to start a new one.
Nice.
And to scrap that game. And what a relief. And now I can come into a new game in a new way with a new frame of mind. And now I can meet the new challenges. So that was great.
That is great. And Todd, thank you for sharing that, and well done by Coach B. You know, as many of you now are heading into maybe week 4, week 5, week 6 with some of your players, it can come to a point now where you start to realize, whoa, maybe this isn't the game that you really want to be playing or really could be playing. Maybe we need to reframe this game right now. Don't be afraid of doing that. Do not feel like you are stuck, like you have to stick to the game you started with 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. No, if you recognize along the way that the game isn't set up properly or it's not quite the right game, absolutely, change the game. That is part of the beauty of life coaching, business coaching. You know, if you're playing football and it's halftime, you can't say, you know what, we're getting creamed in football. Let's play basketball in the second half. You know, they don't get to do that. They got to play football to the end, right? But in our games, that you know, coaching and career and business and life, you can change the game. It's part of the creative process. That's well done, Todd. Thank you for bringing that into the conversation. That's awesome. And let's hear from Coach Julie. Go for it, Julie.
Hi. One of the things I've been thinking about and when I coached two of my players this week, and then again my call just now with my partner, it's about the balance of working for it and letting it happen and not fixating on a to-do list, but on 3 to 5 recurring actions. I found that to be so freeing in the last week,
mm-hmm.
to focus on that. And then in a coaching session I had just earlier this morning, it was to notice the little achievements because they probably are really big achievements.
Yes.
One of my players just glossed right over something, and I went, whoa, wait a second, tell me that story once again. And what happened was, if I could tell you real quick,
yeah,
she has been not really sharing and being visible with her big game,
mm-hmm.
and not been willing or able to do that. But she did speak to one person who I actually know as well and said, I just got certified in what she calls laughter yoga. Mm-hmm. I never heard about it until I met her.
Yes, okay.
She went to this pastor at this little church who we both know and said, Dave, I just got certified for this. And I think her big game intersected with his big game because he wants to bring more education and community involvement in his church.
Perfect.
And he's all over it, all over it.
Nice.
But she glossed right over it, and I said, that little thing you did by contacting Pastor Dave,
yes.
is, you know, It's a big thing.
It's a big win, yes.
You know, it's a big win for both of them. So I think that what a challenge for me and so many people is to not fixate on your to-do list, but to keep allowing yourself to only focus on a few things and watch and see how it becomes masterful and easy, and big gains come from those small little things.
Mm-hmm. Well done. That's great, Julie. Wow, what a big insight. What a great way to conclude our conversation today. That is awesome. All right, well done, everyone. The next game number 2, the game card will be up tomorrow. And so you'll just make a note about your takeaway from today's session so you can put that in right away. You'll get an email, let you know when the game 2 is ready to play. Probably be first thing tomorrow. And then you can put in your takeaway from session 5 and then be off and running in game number 5. And you still have a few hours left in game number one. So if you have any of your You Inspire Me points left, you started off with 21. Don't leave them sitting on the table. Give them to your teammates. If you see something they're doing or something they said in class today inspired you, find a way to click on that You Inspire Me button and share how they inspired you, and then they get a point and you get a point for sharing as well. So don't leave your You Inspire Me points sitting on the table is what I would say. All right, let me get all the mics turned on so we can give a big play to win goodbye to each other. Have an awesome week. Play big, and we will see you next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, and have a great and successful week.
Bye. Bye. Bye.